out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 14th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and of course we're broadcasting at radioarian.com. We're joined today by Billy Roper from the Shieldwall Network and the Roper Report, which you can hear later on today at radioarian.com. Billy, how are you doing today?
Not bad, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. I had a bit of a shock yesterday. And I guess it's one of these news stories that I really wish we didn't have to discuss, but I think we're going to have to discuss it because it is in the news and people are talking about it. And there are some points to the story which I haven't actually seen in the comment sections yet, which I think we should make a point of identifying. We're talking about this tragic happenings with the Traditionalist Worker Party and with Matthew Heinbach and Matt Parrott, and I'm sure most of our listeners have heard about what's happened there. And basically, there's been a scuffle. The police have been involved. There's been women involved, adultery involved. And I don't know if I should really go into the whole story. I don't want to rub salt into the wound or anything like that. But it does seem to me that Matt has, you know, he is basically cucked on his principles, and he's compromised on his principles. Now, this is nothing personal, because I really like Matt, you know, and I consider him a good friend until he ended up having to leave here, because again, he compromised on his principles and went off to go and work for TRS. And what happened? TRS dropped him. There was no support for him. There was no loyalty to him, which he did have loyalty here at Radio Arium, but he compromised his principles and he ended up losing his slot at TRS, losing his listeners. And, you know, I thought at the time, if he's compromising on his principles here, chances are he could be compromising on his principles elsewhere. And we find out that, sure enough, he compromised on his principles. Matthew Parrott's wife must have thrown herself at him and he just couldn't resist it. And, you know, I mean, it is very hard for men to resist if a woman is throwing herself at you, if she is all over you. It's very, very hard for a man to resist when he's in a passion. I mean, what people say is a standing cock has no conscience. And that is very, very true. And I suspect that she made it very, very hard for him to resist. But he was unable to resist. He compromised on his principles once again. And now, because he's compromised on his principles like that with a woman instead of his wife, he's ended up losing his wife. He's got two kids. He's lost his access to his two kids. He's lost his best friend, Matt Parrott. He's lost his party. Matt Parrott has pressed the self-destruct button on the members list. And all of this is down to compromising his principles. And I mean, I'd never spoken to Matt Parrott's wife, but it does seem to me that she is the one that who is most culpable from what I have read. It looks like she got together with Heinbach's wife and said, let's entrap Matt Heinbach. So she went after him. She got him into bed. She got him to commit adultery. And then she played the friend to Heinbach's wife and said, well, let's set him up. I'll seduce him and you watch with your husband, Matt Parrott. So it seems to me that it's Matt Parrott's wife that's the one that's mostly in the wrong here that caused all of this. And if we look at Matt Parrott's wife, we find out that she's got a half-caste child. So really, she's not. She's already shown that she has a damaged character. And I know Matt Parrott is a very nice guy, and he's very generous. And he probably, you know, she took advantage of that. She wanted a stepfather for a child. She got married to him straight away. She's pregnant, and then straight away she's on to Matt. She's trying to get hold of Matt Heimbach, knowing full well that he's married, and living there. And it's an awful situation, because it must have been very hard for Heimbach to think, well, how can I move away from here? Because he's in this compound. So he's got the temptation living there next door in a trailer, masses of temptation. And yet he's stuck in an awkward situation. So we can look at it as in the fact that he's compromised on his principles. And that has what has led to this. And if you stick to your principles, you will be protected. He would have been protected from all of this if he had refused to accept her advances and been brave enough to tell Matt Parrott that she was doing this, because he probably thought, I really can't tell Matt Parrott this because, you know, it will break his heart. If he'd had the confidence and the courage to speak up, that it could have been avoided, and he would still have his wife, and he'd still have his party. And the same with the TRS and the scandal that's happened there, moving to TRS and then TRS dropping him. If he kept to his principles of not compromising them, the party would still be here, and he'd still be friends with Matt Parrott. All of this has come about from compromising on principles, and to a lesser degree, by Matt Parrott compromising on principles and marrying someone who had a half-caste child, who has already shown that she is character deficient. She's got something deficient in her character. And all of this, you know, it's such, so tragic. And I feel really, really sorry for all the people involved, especially the members of the Traditionalist Worker Party. And again, this shows you that just the damage that can be done. One woman can wreak absolute havoc within a political party, within a group. And they love to be the center of attention. So these are the things we should be taking from this. You cannot have women in areas which are, you know, traditionally a men's space, because she will love that attention. She'll be flirting with everyone, and the men will be fighting over that woman. And it will be very hard to resist her if she starts coming on to one of them, even if it is your best friend's wife. If she's coming on to Matt Heimbach very, very strong, and he's there on his own one night, he's had a few beers, it'd be very, very hard for him to resist. And he should never have been put in that position in the first place. This is the problem. They're all living together in this little compound there. You know, these are things people don't think about. They think, well, we've got to have our own place, we've got to have our own white place and what have you. But if you're living too close to one another, and you're too friendly with one another, and you've got women there included in that friend, which should be for men only, male bonding, then this is the sort of thing that can happen. And Matthew Heimbach's wife, I have so much respect for her, because she's never been in the limelight along with Matt. She's never wanted to be in there in the photographs with him. She's never wanted to, to take part in the political side of things. She kept out of all that. But I do hear that Matt Parrott's wife was trying to get involved in that. And so she must have loved the attention. These are some of my thoughts on it, Billy. It's an absolute tragedy all round. But what are your thoughts on it?
Certainly it is very tragic. It's what they call Black Pill Day. I've been talking with Matt Heimbach last night and continuing this morning, and I'm just, you know, not really focusing so much on the politics, not focusing on the organizational things, but trying to offer him my advice and input for whatever it's worth, because, you know, I'm far from the first person to cast a stone, having had my own, more than my share of personal drama in my life and heartbreaks and disappointments, and made my own share of errors, more than my share. And I actually, you know, have had three divorces myself while active in the white nationalist movement. So I'm hopefully able to offer some advice and input and encouragement to him to help him not repeat some of my own mistakes. So I'm kind of trying to approach him and the situation, not necessarily trying to, you know, take the moral high ground, as it were, or to be on any kind of condescending position, but rather just trying to offer any advice and encouragement that I can based on my own personal failures and experience in that regard. But, you know, Sven, you and I have both been in this movement for long enough, and we've been around, that you're quite right that, you know, unfortunately, It's the nature of the beast. You know, the Trojan War began because of Helen, and it's still human nature today that there are, and there always have been, whether you want to call them Nazi groupie girls or pass arounds, a horde of women who are far too available, and that leads to all kinds of difficulties. But rather than focusing on the personal issues involved, you know, we can look at their actions, or whether Matt Parrott, you know, behaved as he should have either. And, you know, the people who all on all sides, I think, made mistakes, as humans will do. I don't personally think that Matt Parrott should have contacted the SPLC and spoken to them about it. There's been a lot of the sordid details about the, you know, the whole ordeal that began last Monday night and Tuesday on Occidental Dissent and other comment pages. The SPLC has a new article up about it. And then Newsweek has printed an article, and a lot of people are just quoting the SPLC verbatim based on the police reports and all the really salacious details that are in it that I don't really care to comment on at all. But, you know, as you can tell probably by my voice, it's been a very frustrating and disappointing and sad 24 hours for me as well. I can tell you that, you know, some people have moved forward and are trying to do their best to regroup. You know, the people who are trying to take advantage, who are trying to be opportunistic and, you know, kick a guy while he's down, you know, who, you know, you and I both could name their names, but we prefer not to even do that, are, I think, also not acting from a very morally secure place. Those who are trying to, you know, siphon off TWP's members for their own organizations, remind me of vultures who aren't even waiting for the carcass to cool before they circle in. I understand that, you know, in this movement, we're all kind of competitive and competing for the same activists and members, but I don't think it's really complimentary of their personal character to be trying to recruit TWP members before it's even certain what's going to happen with the organization. You're correct that, you know, their membership roster information apparently was deleted by Parrott. I believe that Tony Hovatar, the second in command now, is going to try to rebrand and keep things together. And a lot of the TWP officers have expressed their initial support for that. I know that some people from TWP have been invited to join the League of the South. And Jason Kessler publicly invited them to join his new Byzantium organization as well. So whatever happens with that, you know, I know that the best of TWP will remain active in the movement under whatever flag they fly or whatever brand or organization they march under. And it really speaks to the larger issue going on. You know, TWP was just in the middle of winning a debate with the optics cucks at TRS and TDS, supporting the idea of public activism against the new rebranded civic nationalists like Ricky Vaughn and Weave and Andrew Englund and even Mike Enoch, who had pitched in their Red Shoe Diaries organization. But it's unfortunate timing all around and very sad. And I'm not trying to cast stones at anyone involved. I know that, you know, certainly you're not either. Just trying to offer some advice if I can from a personal level based on my experience and hoping that no one will lose faith in our cause, because the cause is bigger than any one person or any one organization. It's certainly bigger than me or anything that I have done. And we should not lose faith in our cause because of any incident like this.
Well, I think we can also see, you know, I mean, people being put under an inordinate amount of strain will often make the wrong decisions. I mean, obviously, Matt Parrott has been under a lot of strain, and he's made the wrong decision calling the police. Well, once you've got the police involved, you've got a domestic violence incident. And I would say that Matt Heimbach himself is probably under a lot of strain. I thought it was like kicking a guy when he's down for TRS to drop him and everyone to start attacking him after, you know, he had just defended lots of people at Richard Spencer's conference, and the TWP have been out there defending people so that they could actually get into the conference, even though a lot of them couldn't actually get in. But, you know, I mean, he was out there fighting and protecting white people and doing a really good job. And then he gets back and a lot of his people have been arrested. And then on top of that, you know, the radio network he went to work for, drop him. And he's also being attacked, you know, for the clothes he wears or whatever optics his group has got. So, you know, he's really being kicked when he's down. And then he's been put through all this, stress and strain, and you know it's taken its toll on him. People have made all these wrong decisions, but it does have to come back to principles. If you hold to your principles and you try to make sure that you're not going to be put into temptation to break them, I mean, that's the thing. Try not to actually put yourself in positions where you may be tempted to break your principles. You know, there's no need to test yourself at how much you can resist temptation. The world does enough of that as it is, but don't deliberately put yourself into situations where there is going to be that temptation, because eventually, you know, the best of us, it can break down and then cause all these problems that we see here. And, you know, since Matt Parrott said that he's self-destructed the group, pressed the self-destruct button, I don't think we can blame other organizations too much for saying, you know, well, come and join us. And I'm glad Tony Hovater is going to try and keep things going. But you're right there, Billy. The biggest worry is that people will lose faith in the movement. This is why we have to hold people to their principles. And we have to insist that they have good character. I mean, I pointed out this, you know, the character issue and the principles issue back in January, and it was nothing personal against Matt, because you know he's a great guy. It was the fact that he wasn't doing what he was saying. You know, he was saying do as I say, but not as I do. And we need people that, you know, they actually carry out what they say. They don't just, you know, just talk a good talk and then don't actually walk the walk. We need people that stick to the principles that they speak out publicly about, and then in their private lives they need to be seen to be keeping to those principles and not breaking them. And if you do that, then you will be protected, whether it's protected by God or whether it's just protected because, you know, these principles are sensible things anyway, not